Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the June 13th, 2022 meeting of the University City City Council to order at 6:30 p.m. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Councilmember Clay is excused. Mayor Crow.
Here. Thank you very much. Before you have the agenda, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda or amendments? Hearing none, a motion to approve. Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations this evening. You have before you the study session minutes of May 23rd, 2022, regarding parking lot number 4 and pension board criteria. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the May 23rd, 2022 regular session minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Klein.
I would like to nominate Michael Forte to the pension board.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I would like to nominate Rich Sorkin to reappointment to the LCRA, Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing in, but we have no swearings in this evening, but you'll see on the agenda that the revitalization task force was sworn in on June 6, 2022 by the city clerk. We'll now move to the citizen participation segment of the agenda. For those of you who would like to speak, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. Please sign in and give the document to the city clerk by way of the bin in front of her. We allocate 15 minutes at the beginning of the meeting, and then whoever else needs to speak can do so towards the end on non-agenda items. Each speaker is asked when they come to the microphone to turn the microphone on, give your name and address, and then limit your remarks to 5 minutes. Our first request to speak this evening is Ms. Janice Jordan.
Hi, my name is Janice Jordan. I live at 8350 Dale Crest Drive, apartment 1005 at the Crown Center Senior Living. I come before you all tonight because I'm kind of concerned about all the luxury apartments that's going up on Dale Moore and Dale Crest and like the square. As you all know, the city of St. Louis have had problems with people who rent out their luxury apartments as Airbnbs, and you know that they have a lot of problems going on. Like March the 12th, a little boy got killed in the lobby. On March the 20-something, a little girl shot her cousin down there. And that's because they're renting these apartments out as Airbnbs, as short-term lease for birthday parties and stuff like that. And I don't know what you all could do to kind of prevent this problem from coming out here in St. Louis County, but that's one of my biggest concerns because I've heard a few people saying that they was going to rent some of the apartments at the square and turn them into Airbnbs. I'm also concerned about how that would kind of overflow, like if they give parties, what would happen with our parking? You know, like we're senior citizens and we already have problems right now prior to the construction with people crossing the street, going to Walgreens. And again, I'm just asking, is it anything that you all could do in meeting with the landlords to see if we could prevent this problem overflowing into your city? That's all I had to say.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Huh. Okay. I could just.
That concludes our citizen participation for this evening. We now will move to the public hearings. The first public hearing tonight will be on the comprehensive sign plan for the Market at Olive Phase 1. I will open that hearing at 6:34 p.m. Madam Clerk, did anyone provide any written comments prior to noon today?
No comments were received.
And no one has requested to speak at the public hearing this evening. Therefore, I will close this hearing at 6:35 p.m. We will now open the second public hearing, which is for the fiscal year 2022-2023 fiscal year proposed operating budget. This hearing shall open at 6:35 and it is now declared open. Madam Clerk, did we have any written comments provided to us prior to noon today?
No comments were received.
And no one has signed up to speak. Therefore, I will close this hearing at 6:35 p.m. You have before you the consent agenda with two items on it, one for ceiling and striping and one for ratification of Missouri DOT. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. And this is just a sidebar to this, and that is with Fogarty Park pavement, is the sign for that trail going to be placed at all, if that can be done?
I believe I have Mr. Duncan, but to answer you, yes. I don't know that there is a time that's been scheduled for it at this point. Mr. Duncan, is that accurate?
Mr. Rose, members of council, Mr. Smotherson, the sign is being made at this time. I don't have an exact date when it'll be installed, but it is being made at this time.
Thank you. That's all I needed to know. And if you could let me know, because I didn't want to inform the family, if you would. Thank you. Thank you.
Hearing nothing else on the consent agenda, has been a motion and a second. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, prior to getting to the first agenda item up under the city manager's report, I did want to make a comment that we are scheduled to have the budget presentation for the FY23 annual operating budget, as well as the 23 through 27 capital improvement program. My intention is to provide you, if you're so inclined to do so, with the option of approving both of those, both the budget and the capital improvement program, after the budget presentation has been completed on the 20th. The first item up under the city manager's report asks the council to receive a presentation regarding Market at Olive. Tonight we have Larry Chapman, who is the CEO of Seneca and a partner in the project, to provide you with an update. I think most people can see that good progress is being made with the development, and we certainly are looking forward to continued progress resulting in the opening of Costco. But I will turn things over to Mr. Chapman.
You'll need to hit the button at the bottom of that microphone. Thank you.
Does that work? Much better. Thank you. I can use all the instruction I can get. Anyway, my name is Larry Chapman, as Gregory said. Happy to be here. As you may know, Bob Clark, Caroline Saunders, David Hutkin, and myself bought U-City LLC from Novus on November 9th, 2021. Even so, we funded and closed Costco on March 29th, 2021, and we've been working on the project ever since. Our number one objective when we started was to buy the property that hadn't been acquired. And so in that regard, we made some pretty good progress. On May of 2021, we reached out to every one of the property owners and told them we were taking Novus's place. And over the past year, we've managed to acquire all the remaining properties on the south side of Olive except Mayflower. And I'll talk about Mayflower in a minute. And on the north side, there were 37 homes that still needed to be acquired. 34 have been acquired. However, there are three that remain. So on the development side, our plans are getting pretty close. Let me go back. Can I go back one? There we go. So if you look at this plan, you can see where it says Anchor A, that's Costco, or Anchor B, that's what we hope will be a large retailer. And one of the reasons we're here tonight, because we need to make progress on that. The large J parcel on the other side, which may be a standalone or may have some other smaller buildings out front, is another large retailer we're trying to secure. And then buildings G, O, I, and N, those are all ones we're putting a new loan in place right now to start commencement of building as soon as we can get the pile out of the way. So that is a little bit of work to do. So we're making good progress there. And so we feel pretty good about that. However, one of the things all of our prospects want to know is that they're going to move into a development like this. They don't want to move into part of a development. They want to know they're going to move into all of the development. And even the guys on the south side want to make sure the north side's done, and the guys on the north side want to make sure it's done. And the real issue that we're at right now is they're asking us to give them a guaranteed schedule for finishing everything. And unfortunately, the three parcels that we haven't acquired yet, we can't put a schedule on, and so we don't know what to tell them. And our concern is that if too much time goes by, they'll lose interest. And so we're going to talk about those three parcels tonight. And let me go through a few things. You know, for the last year, we've worked really hard and had a lot of success buying these properties. And I don't know if you've heard some of the things that we've done. Oftentimes, we found the owners' new homes. We went out and bought them right away so that they could get them. We traded them to them, and so they could move right in, didn't have to worry about all the messiness of doing their own closings and doing those kinds of things. It also made everything move a lot quicker. It's important to point out that in every single case so far, we paid more than any owner could get if they just hung a for sale sign on their property. And I think that's what we're saying because we think it's the fair thing to do, but it's just something I want you to keep in mind as we talk about things tonight. In addition, many people wanted to upgrade their living standards. And so in those cases, we actually funded the difference and financed it above what we were willing to pay. And so they didn't have to go out and find a new loan, and then gave them some time to replace that with a new loan in the normal and ordinary course of business. And so I think we've gone well out of our way to help everybody get the job done. I really do. But what we're asking for tonight, and I don't like it any more than you do, is to discuss the process of eminent domain on the remaining properties. You know, sometimes when parties can't agree on price, the only way is to get a third party involved. And that's what we're asking for tonight. There are three parcels, two on Elmore, one on Orchard. Every one of these property owners has a place they'd rather be. One of them would rather be out of town. Another one has picked out a house in Hazelwood or Florissant. Another one still, we actually took them out, showed them some properties, found a condominium that they liked. They were in tears, so we bought the condominium like the next day thinking we had a deal, and then they walked away trying to renegotiate price. I'm not sure what you do about that, but it's kind of what we did. So as of right now, what I would tell you is the only thing we're talking about is money. It's not about whether they want to stay or go. It's really just about money. Somebody said to us, well, why don't you just pay more for these couple of three people? It can't mean a lot in the grand scheme of things. Unfortunately, it really does, and let me kind of explain to you why that is. We still haven't acquired the properties on Mayflower, and we really want to do that. That's what we're trying to do, the apartment complex. We started working that up. I've reached out and going to start meeting with the Mayflower owners again, and we hope to get that done later this summer. However, there's some smart people over there. Some of them are represented by council. They're watching everything we do, and anytime we pay too much for a piece of property, it's put in the public record under a certificate of value. And if those property owners found out we were paying three or four times what the county says their property was worth, they're all going to want that same thing. And it will absolutely kill the project and kill the project debt, which I don't think is in our best interest. We do really want to be fair. So here's what happens next. If we're allowed to go forward with this process, the remaining owners will know pretty quickly that that's what we're going to do. And my experience is rather than let some third party decide what they're going to be paid, they'll sit down at a table and we'll work things out pretty quickly. Almost 100% of the time, that's what's happened in my past experience. You know, if I could afford to abandon reason and pay just whatever they want, we would have, but it's not something we can do and complete the rest of our project. I will also tell you that somehow we get to a commissioner's hearing, which I don't see happening, but let's say we do, and the commissioners offer something less than what we've offered in the past, we'll give them what we've offered in the past. We've done that already on three occasions, and it's just because it's the right thing to do. People think this can be a lottery ticket. It's not a lottery ticket. It's supposed to be helpful. We're supposed to do something that they couldn't get done on their own, and that's right. But it shouldn't be a lottery ticket, and we shouldn't kill the rest of the project over it. Also, you have to ask yourself, what happens if we don't go forward? Well, if we don't go forward, these homes sit there. Everything around them is demolished. Everything gets converted into commercial development. The environment they're going to live in is going to be horrific because it's all going to be mishmash of commercial all around their homes. And I personally wouldn't want to live in an environment like that while this is going on, but we do have to finish as much of the project as we can finish. The last thing I'm going to say tonight is negotiations are confidential. If you'd like to have closed sessions, we can go through all the negotiations. We've spent about, I guess we've given Gregory about a year's worth of history on each one of these parties. So I'm sure he can share that with you. If you'd like to hear it from us, I'm not going to share specific details in a public forum, but I would be happy to do it in a closed forum. And so that's what we're asking for. If you have any questions, happy to answer them. Thank you.
Other questions from members of council? And if so, it's probably easier to, Larry, every now and then you may need to turn your mic off and then back on so that when they ask, then pop it back on. Questions? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for the presentation and giving us the update. It sounds like you've been pretty successful in negotiating and reaching deals with most of the folks over on that north side. And you're down to three individuals. And I think you made it clear, all of them have given you a number and they're willing to sell. And you've given them a number and you're willing to buy, but you just can't find a number you can both find. Agree.
That's correct, yes.
Have there been, and I'm not asking for specifics, of course, as you just said, but have there been opportunities where there have been third parties that have been tapped into to discuss or try to find that middle ground with any of these homeowners, just to have other meetings with third parties, neutral third parties, to say, hey, what about this? What about this? And kind of work through it. Has that been an avenue that's been explored?
The answer is yes. In one case, we actually sat down with a mediator, a professional mediator. We were there all afternoon. At 7 o'clock at night, I thought we had made a deal. I signed the contract and went on home and got a call from the mediator an hour later that the party had changed their mind. We were surprised. I was very shocked. I thought that was done. Another one, I think we're very close. This conversation may not be needed in another 24 to 48 hours, but it's the only time I can come talk to you. And the third one is somebody we just lost communication with. They just stopped communicating. It's very strange. And we need to get them to come and communicate more than anything.
And my last question, when you're talking about the process and giving it to a third party to make a decision on the number, and you said, we'll even, if we get a number below our last offer, we'll meet that offer. Does that include covering somebody's expense in going to that commission? Because otherwise, then it's really not that offer. Has that been discussed or thought through?
Well, the answer is, so far, they might hire an attorney on their own, and I've offered to reimburse attorney's fees because I think it's helpful for them to have an attorney who can tell them what the facts are. But in every other case, we paid all the costs associated with that process. So I don't think there is any cost. Now, there's time for sure, but that's the only cost I would be aware of.
Other questions? In my case, can you tell me, Mr. Chapman, how many properties were, you may not know this off the top of your head, how many properties were there in total on the north side?
Homes, there were 37 plus the 15 that were purchased for Costco. Okay. So do the map, sorry, 37, I'm sorry, I can't do it, 52.
Got it, okay. And listening to what you said, I want to come back to, and I'm just calling them number one, number two, and number three. Number one wants to move out of town. Number two wants to live in Hazelwood or Florissant. And number three wants to move out of U City someplace.
So, and yes, that's true. If you'd like me to elaborate, I can, but yes, that's true.
Well, and I think, you know, any elaboration you can give us is always important, because I think one of the things that we've always been concerned about is trying to make sure that we are cognizant if someone wants to stay in their home, we want them to be able to stay in their home. But listening to you here this evening and having had conversations with Mr. Rose over the months, it doesn't seem like any of the homeowners that we are talking about are wanting to stay in their current home. They are wanting to move, and we're simply having negotiations about dollars.
That is correct. Completely. Okay. And in one case, their family's now out of town. They want to move to where family is.
Yeah.
Another case, home needs to change for their lifestyle. Another case, I don't know.
Yeah. And one of the comments you made is if they stayed, it would be a changed environment where they'd be surrounded by commercial development. But thus far along, none of these three people have indicated that they want to stay.
There's not a single communication that would say that those words that I've ever seen.
And as you've moved through the process, instead of saying we're just going to deal with the homeowner, based on what you've just said, it seems as if you have at least recommended or made available that each of those three parties should seek their own representation, either by real estate agents or by attorneys or someone.
The answer is correct. Both. In fact, we've actually brought real estate agents to the table to find homes. In other cases, they want to use their own. We've agreed to pay those people to represent them to find the new home. I think we've done everything we can possibly do to help, other than agree on what the final number is.
And then I guess finally, your marathon mediation last week seems to almost have been maybe the probably one of the more frustrating moments, I would guess, if you've mediated for that long and you signed the paperwork and then they decide that's not the deal that they want.
Sadly, that's not an unfamiliar pattern with that particular party.
Okay. Are there other questions by members of council? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just drove by there this weekend up Woodson when 170 was closed, and it appears that pretty much all of Richard is fenced off.
So Richard is completely purchased. Demolition is starting on Richard immediately, and so those homes should be gone very, very quickly. There's one house on Orchard and two houses on Elmore.
Thank you. That my question was as to when they were going to be demolished. So, okay, thank you.
Sorry, should be within a week or so. Depending on schedule and weather, it's been a very interesting weather year, sure. My friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Mr. Chapman, I want to say thank you for your update and the information, and thank you for the time and the effort that you've put into this development. And I really do appreciate that. So the question I have is just an odd question in that, who are you using to strip the houses down? Meaning it looks like the siding is being stripped, doors are being stripped, and what happens with that material? Or are you allowing outside people to come in and do that? I just kind of want to understand that process.
So first, every existing homeowner was given the right to take anything away from the home that they wanted. So that's by and large the greatest activity that you're seeing. We don't think it's a good idea to bring anybody walking in to start doing that activity, and because of the liability involved. And the other things that are happening is if there is an environmental matter, whether it's old asbestos or a certain amount of lead paint or something like that, that has to be taken off the house and shipped to a special dump before we can do the rest of the demolition.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, as each of you are aware, I've been very involved, at least with the three homes that Mr. Chapman is having a challenge in trying to acquire. And as he presented it, I would agree that that certainly One of them have been unresponsive. The first one that he did the mediation with, I was surprised to hear that that an agreement was not reached, but I think that that was just unfortunate since we brought in a third party to try and resolve that matter. And I'm hopeful that on the third one, that there will be good news. But regardless of that, I think that it's important for you to understand that based upon my involvement with those three, it's certainly my intention at this time to place on an agenda for you to consider the use of eminent domain. I'm hopeful that there will be good news that will occur over the next week or so, but that's as it stands today, certainly is my intention.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I did have one further question. Regarding the 6-hour mediation, was there any feedback provided as to how you arrived at what seemed like a deal and then no? And has there been any contact with that individual since?
So I can tell you that the person was represented by counsel and had a real estate professional, both of whom were recommending they go forward. Why and how the person changed their mind, I do not know. I was asked by the mediator to leave our offer open for a period of 10 business days, which we've agreed to do. And that would be through a week from, what is this Monday? A week from this Wednesday. So we'll be hopeful that they'll change their mind and we'll be done. I don't know if that answers your question.
Mr. Chapman, thank you very much for your update on the markets. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item is to present you with information regarding the software package that you purchased this year. Well, last fiscal year that we've started to implement Code Red. We are working very hard to try and improve our communications with the residents, especially during the time periods of flooding and potentially other hazardous incidents. And so we wanted to share with you just some highlights on how that program is integrating into our communication process. So tonight I have Assistant City Manager Dawn Beasley that will be presenting this information. Ms. Beasley?
And if you could, by the way, maybe I'm the only one, but I'm having an awfully hard time hearing everybody with the air conditioner on behind. So if you could speak directly into the mic, Ms. Beasley, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much and welcome.
Testing. Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm going to wait just a second here. Thank you. Okay. So as Mr. Rose has just mentioned, my intention is not to inform you on what Code Red is, but kind of to give you an update on where we are. And so this presentation is going to be pretty brief, okay? To level set, the objective of Code Red is to provide a way for us to easily communicate in a way that is succinct to the community and send out emergency and urgent communications. The provider of Code Red is OnSolve. It is a company who's been around since 1998, and they've been the market leader in mass notification, emergency alerting, and collaboration tools. They provide a variety of cloud-based communication products to the government, small and mid-sized businesses, and enterprises. I want to talk just little bit about the features that are behind the scenes of Code Red. One of the main features that is very advantageous to us is the launcher app. This app allows us to send notifications directly from smartphones and tablets. And this is advantageous for us because that means that we do not have to be stuck behind a laptop or to a desktop to send out communications. So that's a really good tool to have. This tool also allows us to target specific geographic areas, and that's helpful when it comes to identifying certain parameters based on severity or defined groups and other qualifiers. There are multi models for Code Red. You can see them listed on the presentation screen there. And these are advantageous. For us, because anytime that there is a widespread disaster of any kind, and I'll talk about that in the next few slides, but anytime there's a widespread disaster, this allows us to continue our communications if one form of communication happens to be down. There are also weather warnings. So Code Red weather warnings are issued within seconds after a bulletin has been issued by the National Weather Service, and that does not require any action on the staff's behalf. So within seconds, those warnings are going out. And then we also have the function of sending out kind of the polygon methodology. So that allows us to send out targeted communications. So for example, if there's a tornado, we can send those notifications out to people who are in the projected path of the tornado and save lives and give them enough time to plan and prepare. You'll find our use of Code Red communications illustrated in these 7 different categories. So when you look at these buckets, when it comes to administration and elected officials, that includes communications that have voting reminders and polling locations. When you look at emergency management, that includes imminent threat alerts, police updates, and severe weather warnings. When it comes to that bucket of public works and utility, that includes planned water or power outages, street closures, or boil water advisories. When it comes to the health communication, that includes drinking water contamination, pandemics, viral outbreaks, educational outreach. Internal communications would be anything like first responders and dispatch awareness. Law enforcement communications will include missing and endangered children, elderly, disabled, or at risk individuals, sexual predator alerts, and neighborhood crime alerts. And then for the fire department, that's anything that includes maybe evacuation notices and routes, gas leaks, and anything of the like. So Code Red in use, I am providing just 3 examples of what Code Red looks like in use. The first one is Yavapai County in Arizona. So this is unfortunately an area that experiences wildfires often. One example is back in 2016, there was a big wildfire. They were able to use the Code Red system to get out mass communication and alert the community so that they can evacuate safely and timely. That was a completely opposite experience than one that they had, unfortunately, a few years prior before Code Red, where some lives were lost. So that's one example. And then in that same county, about a year later, they were able to find a 86-year-old who was missing. She actually had dementia, but using Code Red, they were able to send out an alert and find that 86-year-old safely. Another event was with the Boston Marathon. We're all aware of that, but they actually did have the Code Red tool and were able to use that to communicate to the businesses and residents and people in that area to get out the communication while they were also doing those emergency procedures. So it wasn't too much time that they had to spend because, again, the launcher alert that they could send out the communications. And the last one was a missing child. in Belmont County, Ohio. There was a seven-year-old who went missing. The usual tools that they used to find a missing child did not find the child, but when they alerted everyone using the Code Red system, they actually found the child at a neighbor's house who did not know that the parents weren't aware where the child was. So that was a very fortunate thing. But the bottom line is that Code Red is a tool that we need in place to not only keep our residents and businesses informed, and not only to keep them safe, but to create a sense of confidence and security. And that's one way that this ties up into the overall strategy of communications. So there are several ways that we can get people registered for Code Red. The first one is on our website. They can go to our website and get registered there. There is an option to register via a QR code where they scan this box and then it takes you to a registration page. There is a text to enter where you text a code to 99411. And then if all else fails with electronic registrations, we have a paper enrollment form, and I would encourage people to visit me here, fill out that enrollment form, and I would be more than happy to get them taken care of here at City Hall. Communications. So we have been diligent in communicating out to the public. You will recall on our latest summer edition of Roars, we had Code Red mentioned on the very first page. It's on our website. We have it listed on all of our social media accounts. I've partnered with Peach Jar, which is the student email list, to get the word out to student homes and their families. And I've also partnered with Jessica Bueller to get it out in Explore U City. So the word is out. And speaking of the word being out, as of today, we have a total of 1,965 registrations. So we're doing good, and we're going to continue to be vigilant. The numbers you see listed here are two numbers that you will find whenever you receive a notification from Code Red. And my advice would be to go ahead and save these numbers in your contact list so you'll know that these are legit, in fact, communications from Code Red. And that concludes my presentation. I'll open it up for any questions.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I have two questions. One is, where is the Code Red computer database equipment, or where will the alerts come from? Through the fire department and their communication center, or for the police?
Code Red is managed primarily through me. It was initially started with the fire department because there wasn't a person over communications, but my understanding is upon my hire that I oversee now Code Red. So the communications primarily come through me. But then when there are communications that are department specific, there are different roles in the Code Red system that administrators can go in. So for example, if there is a fire alert, yes, a Code Red notification can come through fire.
So you're saying that there are several different individuals that could initiate some kind of a Code Red warning?
Correct.
And then have we tested the system yet with 1,900 people on? Should we have an emergency, have we actually run a test yet on the system?
We've actually sent out several communications. You may recall back in May when we had the severe weather, there was an alert that went out informing the residents of the efforts that we were taking to clear the streets.
Okay, I did not receive a message for that, but if you've already been doing that, then thank you.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Ms. Beasley, I just have one question, and that is, with the paper enrollment form, would you mind emailing me a copy of that form? Because we have members, especially in my ward, that are not connected to anything. So we can send out copies of that through email. And then would you prefer they email them back to you or bring them? How would you prefer receiving those back?
Whichever way is convenient for them. Thank you.
Anyone else? You may want to get Mr. Cusick an application tonight, maybe, for it. I'm not certain.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe, for your concern, but I have signed up for it already.
I just remember getting the alarms when the tornado came through on it. So I appreciate it. It was very helpful. So thank you. It's a wonderful system. Other questions? Hearing none. Thank you, Ms. Beasley. Thank you. I believe that concludes the city manager's portion of the agenda. We'll now move forward to unfinished business. We have bill number 9466. May we please have the second reading? Mike, I apologize, my mic was off. We are now move forward to unfinished business. Bill number 9466. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9466, an ordinance amending ordinance number 7146 relating to the zoning classification of multiple properties and redevelopment project area one associated with the Costco development and permitted land uses and developments therein by approving a comprehensive sign plan for the Costco development.
May we have the third reading?
Bill 9466, an ordinance amending ordinance number 7146 relating to the zoning classification of multiple properties in redevelopment project area one associated with the Costco development and permitted land uses and developments therein by approving a comprehensive sign plan for the Costco development.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Second made by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. The bill has passed. We'll now move forward to new business. Bill number 9467. Who would like to introduce? Mr. McMahon, thank you. May we have the first reading?
Bill 9467, an ordinance amending section 120.940 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the University City Loop Special Business District Advisory Commission by amending section 120.940 so as to reduce the number of members from 9 to 7.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to council reports and business. Any reports from my colleagues? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Just a quick reminder to everyone here and this council, and that is Arts and Letters is having their concerts on Monday nights, and there's one going on now, and there will be one next week. So just a reminder about the concerts in Hemet Park. Thank you, sir.
Anything else? There are no further citizens who I believe have signed up. Any council comments? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Just very quickly, I want to ask this of our city manager and police chief. And that is, and one of the things that I appreciate about UCity and our administration is that we have been proactive in addressing current issues that are going on. And what I'm actually talking about is active shooter issues. And one of the things I wanted to ask the city manager is, again, because we have been great and proactive, and just something to assure our citizens that we're prepared as best we can be. If we could have the police chief come in one day and one of the meetings and just kind of inform us about how that process is, assure us that we are, you know, prepared as we can be. And I think that would be important for our citizens to hear or be able to hear from our police chief, sir. So thank you.
Very briefly, all I would like to do is to thank the folks who put together the Mannequins in the Loop, which, as many of you know, was expanded to go all the way down Del Mar, all the way out to 170. There were 22 different mannequins, all of them that I believe are probably as good or better than the years before. The city manager and I came yesterday to the awards ceremony. It was their 13th annual, I believe. It was 100 degrees, I will admit that. But really to Audrey and to her mother, Dorothy Davis, just did an incredible job to the businesses of the Loop and throughout University City who helped support it by helping to purchase the mannequins. Really appreciate it. Made the city kind of fun for a week. With that, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 16.021, legal actions, causes of actions, litigation involving a public governmental body, and any confidential privileged communications between that governmental body or its representatives or attorney. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hills.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein. Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much for joining us, Council. We will move into executive session.